Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Zalmay Salehi. To many people, Zalmay is known as Dominic, the pizza guy who owns Milano's Italian restaurant in Rifle, Colorado. But to his friends, he is Zalmay Salehi, a kind and gentle man who has mastered the art of Italian cooking. Zalmay was born in Afghanistan some 60 years ago, and we started our interview remembering his childhood in what is now a torn and fractured country. What was life growing up in Afghanistan like for you?
It was comfortable, very good, because I was in a military family. My father was a four-star general for many years. So we had a very comfortable life. But then the other side, me and my stepmom never got along, so... that was one of my reasons, I guess, leaving the country. That's what my father said is the best for you to do.
So, really? That was part of the reason, that one of the main reasons that you left the country is because your stepmother had problems with you?
Exactly. And also, a couple of times I ran away from the house, and my father, because he was a high-ranked general, so he didn't... Yeah, I guess I was hurting his... credibility, I said.
Oh, you were bringing disrespect to his position? Or?
Basically.
Is that what they were
because,
saying?
Because the firstborn son and things wasn't too comfortable between me and my mom, so my stepmom. So.
What happened to your mother?
My real mother passed away when I believe I was 2 months old. She died on cancer, breast cancer. Oh,
sorry.
That's as far as I know. I know her name, and like I said, I knew where she was buried. Unfortunately, today there's highways built over that, that cemetery.
So
that's what I heard.
You lost your mom. Didn't really have any memories of her.
No, not at all. Because I was a child. I was a baby, 2 months old or so. My uncle, bless his soul, he told me a lot of stories about my mom and. How he used to take me to the hospital and pick me up beyond the window for her to, just greet me. I wasn't allowed to go inside the room. I was a baby. Huh. I mean, those are the stories I heard from my uncle. So.
Yeah, it must have been, you must be left with memories of what your mother was like. I mean, she was losing her life and losing you in a way, right?
Yeah, both the same, right.
Yeah.
And my father, I didn't know how to bind such a good relationship or bind with my father because he was in and out of country because his career becoming a military for Afghanistan. Basically, he finished his schooling in 12 years in Russia because Russia was controlling pretty much Afghanistan at the time, too. So. All military stuff has got done in Russia. So my father was there for like 12 years. So
you didn't see much of him?
Not much, exactly. If I remember maybe a couple of years of all my life basically with him in Afghanistan.
So you had to spend most of your childhood with this woman who didn't?
Part with her, part with my uncle, part I was raised in there. Basically.
You were telling me before we started that you were 10 years old before you found...
First time I found my mother is dead, I was like 10 years old. I was outside at my step-grandma's house, just playing outside. And then this three little lady came up to me and just mentioned my name. And they tell me my mother was such a good woman and this and that. So that's when first time I really realized that. That's not my real mom, so maybe that's what hit me in the head. Maybe that's why we don't get along.
So all of this time, you were wondering why she didn't like you. You thought she was your real mother.
Yeah, of course, because sometimes that I called her mom, she got upset with that. I didn't want her because, jealousy and stuff like that. And back then in Afghanistan, I guess it was a natural thing for people.
So what sort of things did she do to make you feel different and
I used to get hit a lot. No matter which of my brothers or sisters do anything bad, I'm the one got hit for it. So.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My interview today is with Zalmay Salehi, who grew up in Afghanistan in the care of an unkind stepmother and an often absent father. Why do you think she singled you out?
Up to today, I still can't figure it out. She did ask me to forgive her. I forgive her. I told her I forgive her when she hit me. I'm not the one who got to ask for forgiveness. I said, ask for both.
So as she got older, she did ask you for forgiveness?
Yeah, this was about 10 years ago, 2013, when I traveled. I wanted to stay in Europe for a while. So I went to say goodbye to my father and stepmom. And then she asked me to forgive her. So I told her, I forgive you right then and then, but I'm not the one who asked for forgiveness. So you got to ask our Heavenly Father to forgive you.
You told me that she wouldn't allow you to visit your mom's family.
Yeah, I have a lot of recollection memories from a time when I remember my grandma used to come to the house to take me, my mother's mom, to take me home. But for some reason, she won't let me go. So
you didn't...
I can't forget stuff like that.
You didn't have a relationship with her, and your father really wasn't there very much, right?
Exactly.
What was it like when he was around? What was he strict?
Very strict. Military, of course. I did not talk to even talk or say anything, of course.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
My father, we were brought up with a lot of respect and stuff. Like I said before, one of the things my father liked that when we get up in the morning, we have to dress up. You can't just be in tank top and shorts and hang around. So he liked us to be dressed proper.
No matter so what is a proper dress? What was...
Suit and tie.
Suit and tie.
Literally. or jersey clothes. Jersey,
oh, Lordy.
Literally, yeah. No shorts, no tank tops.
So how did you find out that you were going to be sent to the United States?
It was a surprise. Just out of nowhere, my dad came and says, you need to move on and make life for yourself. Go to America. We're going to send you to America.
What was that meeting like?
I was hurt and upset. I was a little lost. I was a kid. I didn't speak the language.
You were 15.
I was 15. I only knew a yes and no. That's about it. So
they just put you on a plane?
Just put me on a plane and sent me out.
So who was your contact in the United States when you landed?
There was a gentleman it was a businessman in New York City, one of my father's friends. He accounted him. He put me at his home for a little bit, and they find me a room, and he find me a job. And I started my life, my journey in there by myself, one tiny little room.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My interview today is with Zalmay Salehi, who was sent from his home in Afghanistan to live on his own in New York City when he was 15 years old. So you were a 15-year-old kid living by yourself in a room on Long Island.
Yep, and Stony Brook, Long Island.
Like Stony Brook, Long Island.
Yeah.
So where did you go to work?
I worked on a Smith Haven Mall. There's a pizzeria they call Espresso Pizza. And it was a very busy place, too. So that's what my first job in this country that I started. I didn't speak any English. I just basically in the back washing dishes, stuff like that. Stuff like everybody starts in a restaurant. And the manager of the restaurant teach me how to speak English by sign language, basically.
Were you afraid? I mean, it must have been scary in a way.
Yeah, I had a lot of fears, but then in time you can overcome the fears because life has to move on. So, and there was no other choices for me, so I had to get comfortable and stabilize my life for the way I am.
Well, in a way, you were raised for that situation, weren't you? Your stepmother didn't treat you well, and your father wasn't around, so you sort of depended on you from early on.
Exactly. I can say I raised myself since I was 10 years old, is it?
So how did you turn out so well? I mean, your mother's mother was a force in your life, but how did you learn to value and respect people when you weren't?
The respect was something in our family, like I said, military family and stuff, so there's no other choice to live life but the respect, like the way we were brought up and stuff. However, when I came to this country, I was lost for a while, confused, very scared, of course. I'm in a different country, a different language, different culture, different food, different everything. But I got adjusted to it. And I'm a very self-taught, self-motivated person. I learned a lot of stuff with the audiobooks, like I was saying before. And I tried to apply all the principles in my life and move on.
So tell me some of your audiobook heroes. Who were they?
Well, my number one hero is Napoleon Hill.
What was the name of the book?
Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill.
I have other ones too. Law of Success. There's a lot of books from him. I can't read a book because I quit school when I was 8th grade. I can read a book. By now, I learned the English enough for me to read the book, of course, and understand it. But it's just nothing sticks to me. Like if I read the first page, move on to the second page, I forgot the first page.
Yeah.
So for audiobook, it's very easy for me. I can listen over and over and over, especially when I see myself out of line. I just go back in there and just like a food for brain.
When did you discover those books? You didn't discover those at 15, though, did you?
No, of course not. I discovered a lot of the stuff after I started learning more English, like 10 years later, I say. For 10 years, I was like moving spot to spot, and my life wasn't comfortable because I didn't want to get caught by immigration, of course, and get thrown out.
What was your immigration status? Why were you having to move?
My immigration status for the first 10 years, I was like basically illegal immigrant. I could have got caught at any time and sent out.
So you had a visitor's visa?
I had a one-month visa when I came to the country. I tried by immigration when I landed on the JFK. I tried by immigration to give me some more visa, but they wouldn't agree with it. So I just took for the month and move on.
So you were sort of living under the radar then. Nobody knew you were around, and you did fine.
Believe it or not, this is the stuff that sometimes I'm confused that they make no sense. I asked Social Security, so I was paying taxes and everything. I just wasn't legal. I guess some parts of the government doesn't get involved with other parts. Nowadays they do.
That's how you got your nickname, right? Tell me that story.
My nickname came by because when I come to the country, I'm Muslim. A lot of Muslims call themselves, and I like to call myself as well. My nickname was Muhammad. And my boss told me, the manager of the store, that he doesn't want to call me Muhammad because he serves some other religious people. So he doesn't want to. So honestly, like I said, all I know, this guy is tapping me in the back and calling me a name, Dominic.
Dominic.
In time, when I worked there after 3 years, I asked him why he named me Dominic, and that's the reason he told me. Huh. But Dominic, he gave me a name, Dominic. He was an Italian guy,
right. So
he gave me a name, Dominic. And that was my name. I carried on for a long time. But however, all my paperwork, documents, of course, is my real name.
What was he like? Was he good to you?
He was good to me until like 3 years later, I found out he was taking $40 a week out of my pay.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a lot of people taking advantage of me because I didn't speak English. I didn't know the culture, religion, rules, laws, and stuff.
Right.
So he took advantage a little bit. But honestly, I'm a type of person that if I lose something like that, I don't sit and dwell on it. I just look at it as it was a lesson. It was something, I guess the man deserved to take that 40 because he teach me how to speak English. So I say, one way or another, you pay. That's the way I look at it.
So you look at it as your English lesson.
Exactly. So.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Zalmay Salahi. Zalmay was sent by his parents from Afghanistan to live and work in New York City when he was 15 years old. And work was all he ever really knew in those first years.
I worked 72 hours a week, 6 days, open or close, from 9 in the morning to 9 at night. At 9 o'clock, I was front of this Burger King. The manager picked me up, took me to the restaurant. Then at 9 o'clock at night, he dropped me off in front of that Burger King. I walked back home, back to my room. Jeez. So that was my life for
So years. you were living on $80 a week?
Yeah. $80. At the time, I was paying $22.50 a week for rent. It was $100 a month. And I saved money from all the rest, because I barely ate anything. I go anywhere. I had no transportation or nothing. So
you ate when you ate. You ate at the restaurant, and
I ate at the restaurant. Or I went to the supermarket to buy something, basically fruit and vegetable stuff, because all the other food to me didn't look too kosher, because I was brought up in different food, different.
And you're living in the fast food world all of a sudden.
Exactly. Huh. And a different type of food.
Yeah.
I mean, pizza was low culture. Pizza was good. So
you had to move around. So you spent 3 years there, and then so that you
then I moved
by
to
then you're 18 or so.
Yeah,
or,
I moved to Queens, New York.
Was it all restaurant work?
All restaurants. I worked at one pizza place, and I remember until the tragedy happened, and then I got scared. I moved on from there. One day I went in the back, and the dishwasher was stabbed. So that's the reason I left the job there, because it was kind of, I guess, a rough area. And then I went and got a job.
Wait. You went to work one day and...
And there was a dishwasher in the kitchen laying down, and somebody stabbed him.
Walked in, and he'd just been stabbed?
The cops came in and all that, and I was kind of scared too because I wasn't illegal. So I moved on. I moved to another town they call Glen Oaks. It's in Queens. I got a job in this diner they call Silver Moon Diner as a busboy. So I was in there for a while.
Did you ever did you hear from your parents? Or?
I didn't hear from my parents because of when the Russian invaded. My father, as I understood, he left the country because they were after him to get him out of power.
What year was that when things went bad for him?
Well, the war, when Russia pulled in, it was 1979, I believe. Uh-huh. That's when they pulled in. So all that stuff happened back in 79.
And when did your father leave?
My father, I believe, I think it was a year or two after that. I don't recall when he said to me, I don't remember. Uh-huh. But I remember when a story that he told me how he left.
Tell me that story.
Him and my stepmom, my brother, my little brother, little sister, they all got crossed the country with a Red Cross. How they, in other words, they like injured in the war. They wrapped them up and stuff.
So they made them look like they were injured in the war.
Right.
And they took them out as patients.
They took them out of Afghanistan to the deserts and stuff and moved to Iran for a while. Then from Iran, he moved to Singapore, from Singapore to Germany, from Germany to the United States. He arrived in the United States in 1989. And I remember because I had to go visit him in New Jersey for the first time since 76 that he left, I left.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program, and my interview today is with Zalmay Salehi. Zalmay grew up in Afghanistan and was sent to live on his own in the United States by his father, who was an Afghan general. He was sent because his stepmother didn't like him. 13 years later, he goes to see them again for the first time when they arrive in the United States. What was that? So, what was that like?
It was touchy, of course. My father, you know, I see it.
But he had changed dramatically. He'd been through a lot, right?
When he came to the country, he was didn't think that he's going to survive. Because his heart condition and all the dramatized things that he went through. But by the grace of God, they managed to keep him. So.
Well, people were chasing him and wanted to kill him. I'm sure he was...
Exactly. Back in Afghanistan and Iran and all that area. So
he was undercover that whole trip because he was at risk of getting killed.
Yeah. My father served many, over almost 50 years of his life for the military of Afghanistan. So he was a high-ranked general. He knew a lot of... He had a lot of people that I respect and love him, of course.
And a lot and of people who didn't.
Everybody helped the way to get him. My father was a good man in the country. He did a lot, I remember.
So had he softened some by the time you saw him in 13 years later?
Health-wise, he was a more
gentle person? And
oh, yeah, definitely, of course. He, very pleased to, I was pleased to see him too, especially alive for sure. You know, my father's a very given person. He was a very given person. And he always go out his way to help anybody. That's the way we were brought up, Yannis. Yeah.
How many years did he was he alive in the United States?
Well, from 89 to 2014. He passed away in 2014.
So he recovered from this ordeal and
he did
well.
Many times I see him, he looked great. Yeah, he just, and he built a beautiful life for himself in Los Angeles, California. My father also contributed to build a big Muslim mosque in Fremont, San Francisco. Estimated over 30,000-40,000 Afghans lives there. So they go
in that area.
In that area.
In the San Francisco area, 30,000-40,000 people.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, we held his funeral at the place that the mosque that he built with four other friends.
That was probably quite the turnout then.
Very nice, very elegant, very beautiful.
How did you make your way to to Colorado?
Colorado was my dream.
Really?
When I was 20 years old, I traveled. I left New York for 9 months. I went around this country. And most of my time I spent in Colorado when I was 20. So it was always a dream in my head that I'm going to retire in here. Why? Because Colorado reminded me a lot of Afghanistan because of the mountain. You know, and all that, because there's a lot of mountains over there.
So you're 25 years old, and you head out on the highway.
Exactly.
You've never seen the rest of the United States, so all you know is the rest of the United States looks like New York. Tell me some of your impressions as you traveled around the United States. What are some of those places that stood out for you?
Well, Colorado was the number one, of course. But I loved every state. It's got their own unique way, you know. I love traveling. I'm a traveler my whole life. Even when we were back home in Afghanistan, we used to travel 1 month out of the year. My father used to take us here and there to a different country or different. Pakistan was very close. We used to go there.
So when did you come to Colorado to stay?
Colorado, I came in 2015. I left New York, and my son works on the snowmass, Aspen Snowmass. He talked me into it pretty much because I lived alone in New York. And like I said, I'm a skier. Colorado was my dream. And it was something in the back of my head all the time to move to Colorado. You know, sometimes I'm a spiritual, godly person, I believe. And sometimes the good Lord has blessings for you. You just need to search where it is so you can find it. And my blessing was in Colorado. And ever since I came here, I feel nothing but success. Keep growing up. And of course, with a little hard work and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I love Colorado.
But you've worked hard for this place that you found in Colorado.
Of course. I mean, I always consider myself like a workaholic because I'm so used to working, you know, 12 to 15, 18 hours a day in a restaurant business, with, you know, New York, no matter where. I did work hard to reach this far, you know. And one of my dreams always was to own my own restaurant. And today, with all the headache I'm seeing, sometimes I tell myself, I said to myself, it was your dream.
Yeah, careful what you wish for, right?
Exactly. Well, that's the truth, you know.
Yeah.
It was always my wish and my dream, and I always asked, and I believe in the good Lord, it doesn't put anything in your heart without a fulfillment. If you set something in your heart and you be always aim for it and go for it, you will succeed sooner or later. Like I said, one of the things that I learned from the Napoleon Hill, what it says, whatever the mind can believe and conceive, it can achieve.
Uh-huh.
That is so truth.
Napoleon Hill.
Napoleon Hill, my hero. Like I said, I live my lot of my life by his principle. If I can make it, you can make it.
Yeah.
This is the greatest country in the world, for sure. You know, you can be whoever you want to be. It's all up to you. It's all up to you at the end of the day.
That was Zalmay Salahi. Zalmay always dreamed of owning his own restaurant and living in Colorado. And today, he's the owner and manager of Milano's Italian restaurant in Rifle, Colorado. The one thing that hasn't changed for Zalmay are the 15-hour days, 6 days a week. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. To access our archive and listen to other stories, please check out our website at immigrantstories.net, or you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google. That's it for this time. And remember, the only thing that separates the proverbial us from them are the years we've had to forget where we came from. Thanks for listening.